about? It's our weekly catch-up with the National Party's Amy Adams.
And of course, it is not Amy Adams this week. As I mentioned, instead I'm chatting with the lovely Nikki Kaye, who starts off by telling me about the recent announcement of National's education meetings.
Look, they're really important because what's being proposed is probably the largest education proposal, reform proposals in 30 years. So it's really important that as many people as possible, from principals to teachers to parents, are aware of the proposals that are planned. But also we expect there'll be wider issues around education that are raised, and, you know, it's healthy as an opposition party to be on the ground listening to people around their views on education.
What are your thoughts on what we could see coming up within these kind of forums for people?
Well, look, there's multiple proposals as part of the Tomorrow's Schools reforms, everything from issues of funding, particularly the push up against disadvantage, issues of learning support and young people who may have specific additional needs. There's also issues around governance and the role of parents as boards of trustees, and that's one of the things that we're concerned about. We think that under the model that's been proposed, could be too much concentration of power with officials, and so educators and parents will have less ability to influence education.
And of course, last year this education was a huge topic. There was the quality of the actual buildings for schools, there was teacher strikes, and a prominent feature of what I had in talking with people about this subject was that these strikes were coming out, these conversations were coming out, because it felt like current government was willing to take more action about grievances. I'm curious what you have to say about that.
Well, look, under National, the education vote went from $8 to $11 billion, so it increased every year when we were in office. The reality is we were dealing with a global financial recession. So, you know, times were tough and we did what we could with the situation that we had. In saying that, there is a lot more to do. And, I mean, take the school property portfolio. We managed to clean it up an amount. We invested over a third more than the last government, over $5 billion, but there's still an amount to do. So, look, I think you have to give the context of history for any government, but I think where the conversation is now is, what does the future hold? Labor's been in government for about 15 months. They made pretty significant promises, and one of the reasons I think we've got strikes is that the discussion before the election hasn't really matched what their promises were. So I think what we're trying to do is be constructive, be out on the ground listening to people, ensure that we have alternative policy where appropriate, but then also agree with the government where it makes sense.
Shifting on to the Provincial Growth Fund. So the recent news between National and Labour is that National is has put out figures saying that government has only spent 3.4% of the allocated funding. What do you think those figures indicate?
Well, look, I think we've had some concerns about the Provincial Growth Fund for some time. Of course, you know, we support investing in the regions, but the fact that the government's, we think, only created about 54 jobs in the first year is pretty disappointing. The fact that just 3.4% of the funds have actually been paid out is about $26 million is, you know, also concerning. So again, you know, who wouldn't disagree with investing in the regions? But I think what's again happened here is the promises haven't matched the delivery.
And of course, government has completely denied these figures. So Jacinda's saying that $97 million have been sent so far, where Paul Goldsmith is saying it's $26.6 million. Do you think this is potentially an instance of National jumping the gun without all the information?
Well, again, look, I have confidence in Hall, and this government's been, you know, in for around 15 months, and, you know, from his perspective, in terms of actual funds paid out, 3.4%, but even if you, you know, disagreed that it was a bit higher than that, that's really small given the period now that they've been doing this, but also the fact that it's created 54 jobs, and you just had this sort of really big high expectations created, and, you know, the fact is, and people are saying it to me that they, in particular regions of New Zealand, they haven't lived up to what they promised.
Mm. And Jacinda also came out in regards to the number of jobs that's been created. She's saying that it takes time for these projects to gear up and start coming to fruition. And of course, you mentioned only 15 months. Is that enough time, do you think?
Well, look, again, I think, you know, the only time will tell in terms of the actual jobs that are created out of it. And, you know, a lot of this as well, I mean, you've got Paul talking about the number of bureaucrats or officials that are basically supporting this fund. So even if some more jobs are created, when you've got potentially several officials for every job that's created, some New Zealanders will be questioning the delivery of this.
Mm. And government has announced more than $80 million to help unemployed young people in the regions get into work. Now, you formerly held the Youth Affairs portfolio. How big of an issue do you think it is that young people are employed in the regions?
Well, look, I think a couple of things. I mean, I was youth development, so that's sort of like about a $6 million fund. Mm. In terms of the issues of unemployment, multiple colleagues have held that portfolio, but one of the really concerning things is that, you know, the other day, actually unemployment's peaked up. That means that there'll be more young people not in employment, and of course there's a role for the government in terms of initiatives to support them, and whether that's retraining or social initiatives, because there's multiple reasons why young people don't get a job. One of the best thing we can do is ensure that we are supporting small businesses to enable them to create these jobs. And when you've got business confidence tanking, when you've got additional costs that are being put on businesses, everything from in Auckland to, you know, fuel tax to other uncertainty in the immigration areas and foreign investment, then, you know, it's not surprising that we've got increases in unemployment. And so it's sort of a bit of a case where the government's talking a big game in terms of additional initiatives, but then on the one hand is having policies that create additional unemployment.
Mm.
A bit confused.
Yeah, definitely. And I always like to finish off my interviews with any politician with a non-political question. Just because I think it can be a bit rough for people in terms of like looking at politicians not as people. With Valentine's Day coming up next week, it's a tough time for people, both in relationships and not in relationships, I think. So what advice would you have for people going into this Valentine's Day?
Well, I'm single, so I've got some good, well, I think make sure you have a fair amount of chocolate. I was actually going to be holding a public meeting, which I'm not doing because no one would have turned up. And that point was made to me by one of my colleagues. But I think just spend it with the people that you love, and that if you don't have a partner, then go out with some mates. That's what I often do. And it's a time to celebrate those that we love.
Mm, yeah, invest in yourself and your friends.
Yeah.
Love that. Thank you so much for talking with me, Nikki.
Thanks very much. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye.
Haywire.
Like, naked is the theme. Like, people just love getting naked.
The National Party's Amy Adams on 95 BFM.
The Wire.